Morning. Today's daf in Sota is Chaf Aleph. We are on the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph. Thank Lubin for additional sponsorship of the daf. As long as Zechon Ishmael Libba Gabriel of Ashmuel. Reb Meir was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and also he learned a little bit by Rabbi Ishmael as well. And so, as far as the confusion is concerned, in terms of who do you learn by first? So the Gemara says it can go either way. You could either say he started by. He started by Rabbi Akiva. He didn't. He wasn't following Shir. He then moved to Rabbi Ishmael, learned a little bit. Now understood at least the ABCs. Went back to Rabbi Akiva and he had a much better time. As far as the issue in terms of who allowed concantum to be added to his ink, in other words, he had permanent ink, and it was controversial because we know that the Megillah of Sota has to be erased. The Torah is very clear about the word umacha, that it needs erasure by the Megillah Sota. So is that true by Megillah Sota? Is that also true by the rest of the Torah as well? So that became a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael, although from the two stories that were told, we're not really clear who took which position. With all that stated, Tanya, we're in the very bottom of Chafa Medallah, for starting with the words Tanya. The Gemara starts off with the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Omer Haya Rabbi Meir, Lechol Matil and Kankantum Latochadio. You put Kankantum into the ink and you put it in for everything, meaning when you're writing a Sefer Torah and you want the ink to be a permanent ink, so you put it into everything. Chutz, with one exception, we turn to Chafa Medbeis, Miparsha Sota Bovan, with exception to Parsha Sota, where there it must be. It must be written where it is not indelible, but it must be erasable. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Mishmal, Rabbi Yaakov also says in his name, meaning in the name of Rabbi Meir, Chutz Miparsha Sota Shel Mikdash. No, not a regular Sefer Torah, but only in a Sota that you're writing in the base of Mikdash. Meaning what we have over here, is, as the Gemara is about to articulate, is a machlokas as to whether or not I could take the Parsha Sota that's found in a Sefer Torah and use it for a Sota. Now, granted, if we use it for a Sota, we're going to now be missing a portion of the Sefer Torah. Obviously, we're going to have to replace it if we want it to be a Kosher Sefer Torah, but okay. So, pragmatics aside, it's a very simple machlokas now amongst the Tanaim, whether or not you can use the Parsha Sota in the Torah for a Sota. So, maybe now you could die. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Limchok Laminatari Kimenu. So, Gemara says that's exactly the machlokas as to whether as to what's going on over here. So, a mayor of the first Rav Meir being quoted is of the opinion that you could actually take out the Parsha Sota from a Sefer Torah and use it. And that's why it has to be written with non-indelible ink. It has to be ink that could be erased. However, the Rabbi Yaakov quoting Rav Meir says no. When you're writing the Parsha for the Sota, so that has to be something that could be erased. But when you're writing a Parsha Sota in the Sefer Torah itself, so that can be made permanent. Behind it tonight, the Gemara lines up another pair of Tanaim along this machlokus as well. D'tanya, Ein Megillah Sak Shero LaHashkos Basota Acheres. What if you wrote a Megillah Sota and turns out you didn't need it? Right, we already went over a number of examples, illustrations. Why it is that we won't end up using it? Okay, so the Mishnah told us that you put in Geniza. How about reusing it? In other words, using it for somebody else. So the Tanakama of this Brisa says, nope, you can't. Can't use it for somebody else. Rabbi Achibi Bar Yoshi Amar Miguel Takshir LaHashkos Basot Acheres. And a dissenting opinion, Rabbi Achibi Bar Yoshi says, no, you can't. If you didn't use a Megillah Sota for one Sota, so then you could just simply use it for somebody else. So the Gemara now would like to align the Machlokas that we learned, the two opinions of Rabbi Meir, and this Machlokas is over here. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa Demalohi. Rav Papa says, I don't have alignment. Meaning, the two machloksim obviously exist, but they are not—they're not running parallel to one another. Why? Because ad kan lo kamar tanakama hasamela kim in the intak lishum racha lo hadram mintak lishum leya. As far as the tanakama of the second brisa that we just learned, well, he's of the opinion that once I have one particular woman in mind when writing the sota, the Megillah Sota, I can't use it for another woman because I already had someone specifically in mind. Aval Torah distamik siva hachanam demachkinan. But when you're writing a Sefer Torah, you have no sota in mind. You're writing a Sefer Torah, and there's no kavanah for any particular woman. So it could very well be that The two cases are different. In the Bryce's case, we have a particular woman in mind. In the Rebbe Meir scenario, we have nobody in mind. I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Damalohi, and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, and I can also strike another distinction. Ad kan lo kam Rebbe Achi Bar Yoshia Asamela ben Megillah de Ichtav Lashem Alos Ba'olam. When we're talking about the writing of a Megillah Sota, there we're writing Megillah Sota for the purpose of Allah, for the purpose of curse, meaning its function is it's going to curse a sota. Avatar Islamic Siva. So but when we're talking about a Sefer Torah, when we're writing the Parsha Sota in a Sefer Torah, that it wasn't written with the intent to curse any particular individual. It's just basically telling us, here are the laws. Here's the rules. But it's Islamic. It's to learn from it. But it's not there for the purpose of cursing. So again, you can construct an argument that to take a Megillah Sota that was applied towards one Sota and to use it for another, yeah, because functionally speaking, it's the same. But to take it from the Sefer Torah itself, where its function was not to curse anyone, so maybe even Rabbi Achi would say that you can't do. So, Rabbi Achi, Yoshi of Leslek Sav Lagarish, as Ishta of Nimlach Matzah Benir, of Amarlo Shmikish Mech, of Hashem Ishti, Kashem Ishtecha, Pasal Lagarish Baal. So the Gemara says, well, doesn't Rabbi Achi hold of the Mishnah? Now, basically, what the Mishnah is teaching us is a very basic halach, and that's Lishma. When you write a get, you have to have, when you're writing the get, the particular man involved and the particular woman involved. In other words, it's a simple halach of Lishma. If you don't have Lishma, it's no good. So the Mishnah over here that I just read over very quickly gives the following example. Let's say you're picking through your neighbor's garbage. I know it's a strange scenario, but just what came to my head. It happens. But you're going through your neighbor's garbage, and then lo and behold, you find a disposed get. Meaning, apparently, your neighbor was thinking about divorcing his wife, but then he decided, you know what, no. And so what did he do? Instead of destroying the get, he threw in the garbage. So you pick it out of the garbage, and oddly enough, you look at the names, it's a match. You say, what a fortuitous opportunity. So then you take the get and you use it for yourself. Now the Mishnah in Gittin tells us you can't do that. It's not allowed. So, and the reason why it's not allowed is because you're missing a very basic function of Lishma. Because it wasn't written for you, it wasn't written for your wife. So that's a basic halacha. And that's generated from the word law, the kus of law, Sefer Krisos. So over here, don't we also have a law by the Parsha of Sota? And don't you need Lishma? Meaning, how can we even entertain the idea that I'm going to take a Megillah Sota that was written for one and just use it for somebody else? You have Lishma.
So,
the Lishma, that's true. But the Lishma means I'm writing it for her. That's the Lishma. So Amrei, so the Gemara says, yeah, but they answered Hasam because of Lama, Rechman Abin, and Ksiv Lishma. The Gemara says there is a requirement of Lishma for both the get and for the Megillah Vesota. However, the application of where the Lishma belongs, that's different. When it comes to the get, so the Torah says, because of law. The Lishma of a get has to be on the Ksiva. So when you're writing the get, it has to be Lishma. That's why when you pick up somebody else's get, even as fortuitous as it is, you can't use it because it wasn't written for you. So the Gemara says, yeah, by the Sota, what does the Torah say? Va'asala. So right now the Gemara is thinking that's going on the Ksiva, but the Gemara immediately clarifies it's not. My Asiya Mechika. Gemara says that the Asiya mentioned over here is the erasure. The erasure has to be Lishma. So that means that according to Rabbi Achi, if you took a Megillah Sota that wasn't used for one, you could use it for another. Don't you need Lishma? Yes, you do. But the Lishma is not going on the writing. The Lishma is going on the erasing. Okay. Einam afsekel lishtos ad shepaneha. Mani Rabbi Shimon he the Amar Makrivis min chasav achar kach mashke. So the Gemara looks at our Mishnah. Now our Mishnah says that what is the reaction time of her fate after drinking the water? So the Mishnah says there's no delay. Mishnah says that it happens immediately. Now we'll talk about the zchuyos in just a moment. That's coming up. That's going to be a good part of today's daf. But right now the first part of the Mishnah simply says she drinks the water and immediately she doesn't even finish drinking the water and immediately she starts reacting and her demise is coming immediately. So the Gemara points out that who is the author of our Mishnah? It must be Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon says, we've seen this now on numerous occasions. We get Baruch Hashem, we get to see it again, and that is Rabbi Shimon says, what's the seder? What's the correct order? First the mincha, then drinking.
Because
Because we know that if the mincha wasn't offered, so then she's not going to respond, she's not going to react, she will not be symptomatic to the drinking. Dichsiv mincha zikaron mazkeres avon. Because when the Torah describes the mincha, it says mincha zikaron mazkeres avon. The mincha is also one of the triggers of the mesota. So it therefore seems pretty clear that the author of our Mishnah must be Rabbi Shimon. Meaning we offer the mincha already. So that triggers now in place. Now she drinks, and then we understand the Mishnah, she's going to react immediately. Amos Sefer, the Gemara says, okay, but go on in the Mishnah. Yesh l'schus ha'isa tola asan l'rabbana di Rabbi Shimon amra ein schus tola b'mayim amarim. Now the Gemara says, yeah, but then the Mishnah introduces us to the idea of zechuyos. And we know, we saw this earlier in the Masechta, and we're going to say it again now, Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to zechuyos. Remember, Rabbi Shimon, we saw this back in Dav Vav. Rabbi Shimon said back then, there's no way that you'll have a delay in the drinking of the Mesota. Can't be. So the Gemara says, amra v'chista, so the Gemara says, okay. So, on one hand, our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shimon. On the other hand, our Mishnah doesn't seem to be going like Rabbi Shimon. So the solution over here is pull out another Tana. Where Makar is Minchas V'achakach Mashke, Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Shimon in terms of the Seder. So remember, we did that yesterday, where we had the Braisa, and I mentioned yesterday, and it's very clear from the Gemara right now, and Rashi said it yesterday as well, that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva agree in terms of the order, and so Rabbi Akiva therefore already has the mincha being offered before she drank the water. And however, but Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Akiva is a subscriber to the idea of zechuyos, and that there can be an extension, she can be given a 1-2-3 year extension based on her zechuyos. Okay, so that is a in terms of identifying authorship of the Mishnah, Gemara says it's Rabbi Akiva.
For that 3 year extension that she's getting, if the husband has bia with them, they have children, then the mom comes here.
It's not a technical question. It's a good question. I don't know. In other words, during that extended period of time, I imagine they're still opposite of one another. It's a law for her and her husband to be. I'm just thinking out loud right now. It's a law for her husband and her to be together. A law doesn't create a mamzer. Nisr Karis creates a mamzer. Okay. She's a sota. She's
water was bodiker, so
the water was bodiker, it's just that right now it's on extension. Okay.
You don't know if she's brought, she's okay.
Okay, I hear you. I definitely hear you. I can hear an argument. Let's go on. Let's see. The Hamom Rim Hotsia, they say take her out right away. My timer. So the Duma Mesa. So the Gemara says now we're taking her out because she is about to die. And the Gemara says, and again, it's a very clinical Gemara, but so the Gemara says, Lamema de Mesa, Sir Bamachna Levia. Gemara says to this, okay, and if she dies, where are we right now? We're not in the Azara. Meaning the Mincha, sure, the Mincha is being offered in the Azara, obviously. The Mincha is Kodesh Kadashim. The Mincha is being offered in the Azara, but she's not in the Azara. She's the furthest she went in was the Shar Nikanor. And in fact, she did. But Shar Nikanor, that's the gate to the Azara. But we know that the Shar Nikanor only has Kedushas Machne Leviya or Kedushas Harabai, same thing. So, and we also know there's no problem with a mace being in the area of the Har HaBayis. The time Vahatanya, we learned in a Braisa. Okay, this should sound familiar. We did this not so long ago in Masech Nazir. Tame mace matalekanus machna levia. Tame mace is allowed to go into machna levia. Velo tame mace bavad amru, Allah fila mace atzmo. And you can go one step further. Even the mace himself can go. I mean, the mace is not going to go. But even a mace can be in machna levia. Shenema vikach moshe asasmos yosef imo. Imo bemichitaso. In fact, throughout the 40 years in the desert, Moshe had Atzmos Yosef together with him. Atzmos Yosef was a mace. Moshe was living in Machane Levia. That's where he went home at night. It's obviously okay. So Amar Abai Shema Tifros Nida. So the Gemara says, okay, that you're correct. And so the Hotziu taking her out, not because she's going to die, because death is not going to be an issue. There's no problem with a mace being in Machane Levia. Take her out, meaning because she may be a Nida. Now that's a different story. Tumas Nida, as is true by Zav and Zava and Balkari, are not allowed to be in Machane Levia. So in other words, you can't go in Harabayis if you're a Nida, Azav, Azava, Bakeri. So
how come this Nida is not a concern when the coin does Tinufu?
Wait, just 1 second. Give me a second. The answer will become apparent as we go through the Gemara. So Amar Abayis Shematifros Nida. So Lamemar de Biyusas Amar Pei. So the Gemara says, really? And what caused there to be a Nida? So the Gemara says, Shach. Shach caused there to be a Nida. The Gemara says that's correct. In fact, we know. The Gemara in Megillah darshans the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vatizchachal ma'kama'od. So the simple pshat in the Pasuk is that she was just disheveled. She was out of sorts. But the Gemara in Megillah says, and the Gemara here quotes it, Gemara Sota, so we're also learning Gemara. So the Gemara says that Esther was Anida. V'amar Rav Shapir's Anida. That's exactly how Rav understands the pasuk. Why was she Anida? Because shock. It will induce a woman to start Anida, even if it's not her zman, even if it's not designated time. V'anan tanan charadam esalakis damim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in the Gemara Anida, a couple locations, right? You see on the side, a couple times in Masechta Anida, we say that fear abates the menstrual cycle and it doesn't induce it. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara gives a fine distinction that if it's a general fear, so that's something where that'll abate the menstrual cycle. She may skip a cycle. However, if it's a sudden shock, so the Gemara says that'll induce it. Okay, so the Gemara says that's how to resolve it. Now we understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah says take her out. She's a machna levia. What's the issue? Even if she dies, she's a machna levia. The answer is that prior to her death, she was a nida. If she becomes a nida post-mortem, that's nothing. But if she's a nida right before she dies, so that's somebody that cannot be a machna levia. And that's the pshat in the Mishnah when the Mishnah says, Hotziyuwa.
Yesh l'chus haisa. What about my concern about her bringing nida there into Nufa, but they call it?
So the Gemara, right, so there apparently that's not where the shock. The Gemara's assumption is that the shock that we're dealing with is from the drink and her reaction to the drink. That brings about the shock that will induce her menstrual cycle. That seems to me the pshat in the Gemara. Yesh la zechus haisa. Okay. And then the Mishnah introduces us to the idea of zechuyos, that if she has zechuyos, we're going to identify what the zechuyos are. That's a big part of today's daf. It's coming up. But if she has zechuyos, so then it can give her a 1, 2, or even a 3-year extension on her life. Mani masisin. So now, in terms of an extension, how long an extension do you get? We just said in our Mishnah. The problem is that we're going to see a Braisa, and the Braisa is going to give us a number of suggestions, 3 suggestions to be exact. None of them are going to match our Mishnah. And of course, then the problem becomes, once again, second time today, authorship of our Mishnah. Who is authoring our Mishnah? So first, let's introduce ourselves to the other 3 opinions. Mani Masnitzin, Lo Abba Yossi ben Chanan, Volo Rabbi Lazar ben Yitzchak, Ish Kfar Darom, Volo Rabbi Yishmael. So it's not going like any of these Tanayim. Ditanya, the Gemara now introduces us, Im Yishchus Talash Tal Shechadashim. So the first opinion is that Zchuyos will give an extension, but only 3 months. Kedea Karasa Ubar. Parallel corresponding to the time of the recognition of an Ubar. Not to say that she's going to get pregnant. In fact, she's guilty, meaning she's only getting an extension on her death sentence. So the pregnancy only comes about when she's nucky. It just means that's a measurement, that's a unit of measurement that becomes significant. So that if she was innocent, she'll be pregnant. If she's guilty, so we're going to take the number and apply it to her for her extension.
Is that because the ability to come just at like a pregnant moment?
I mean, he's going to quote Pesukim, so it's an interesting suggestion. But he'll use Pesukim to prove his point. Dibre Abba Yosi ben Chanan, Rabbi Lazar ben Yitzchak Ish Kfar Darom Amar Tes Chadashim Shenamar. So the second opinion of the Braisa is that it's 9 months. Her extension is 9 months, corresponding to the 9-month gestation period. V'nikta v'nizra zera. The Torah says is that if she is clean, meaning she's innocent, so she's going to be pregnant. Olhalan omer zera yavdena yusu par zera. So the zera is going to work on her behalf. It'll speak. What does that mean? Harai l'saper, meaning at the point where the baby's ready to speak. Now, of course, the Gemara does not mean that once the baby comes out 9 months after gestation, baby's going to start talking. That's That's not a normal developmental rate. It just means, Rashi says the pshat, that it just simply means that once you're born, now at least you have the capability to talk. In utero, there's nothing to talk. Literally, there's nothing to talk about. But once the baby comes out, at least now there's a possibility to speak, and that fits in with the pasuk in Tehillim. And the third opinion, Rabbi Shmuel Amar, Shnemasar Chodesh V'Alfa Pishen Ra'el Adavar Zeich L'Adavar. And he says that at most we're talking about an extension of 12 months. And how do I know that? So he says, I don't have a bona fide proof, but I know my nach. In this case, I know my ksuvim. Sefer Daniel, Dichsiv. So Rashi points out over here, I mean, we could look it up inside, and not now, fourth paragraph of Sefer Daniel, so Nebuchadnezzar has terrible dreams, foretelling that he's going to basically leave the human race, go join the animals, a lot of doom and devastation that Nebuchadnezzar sees in his own dream. So who's his poter, who's his interpreter of dreams? Daniel. So Daniel interprets the dreams, and then Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, now that I interpreted your dreams, so let me give you a little bit of advice. And basically, we'll see the psukim inside, not that we're going to really understand them, and it's in Aramaic. I've told you this before. If you want to test your Aramaic vocabulary, so don't read Gemara. You don't need to know a lot of Aramaic for Gemara. I know it doesn't feel that way in the school system, but you really don't. But you do need to know Aramaic to either read Targum on Chumash or to read Sefer Daniel. That'll really test if you know Aramaic. In the meantime, just to make this a little more clear, basically Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, here you go. You do mitzvos, you'll get, in other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu foretold, it's going to happen. But you know what? You can get a little bit of an extension, and you'll get an extension by doing mitzvahs. And that'll provide his chus. So that's what Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar. And as we get to the punchline, we're going to see in the psukim in Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar got an extension for 1 year. So once again, you see that at most we're talking about a 1 year extension. Okay, now let's break our teeth over these psukim. Dichsiv, Lahan Malka Malki Shupar Lecha. So Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, I hope all this is nice, it's appealing to you. Vechatecha Betztaka Prok. So how are you going to get redeemed? Now over here he says redemption, Prok. But it's not really redemption. It's just an extension. You're just not going to get punished immediately. So what do? So what you're going to do is you'll give to the poor. So and you will get an extension, an arka, an orech. You'll get an extension. Uksiv kolomata al Nebuchadnezzar maka uksiv leksas yarchin treasar. So then they get to the end of the psukim in Perek Dalet Sefer Daniel, and in fact Nebuchadnezzar got an extension, and the psukim say he got a year. Okay. No. It's okay. I should read the psukim correctly, but right now I want to get through the daf. But we got the basic idea. I appreciate it. So we got the basic idea. So to which the Gemara now says that's the so what do we have now? Three opinions in terms of how long an extension we're talking about. And your three opinions are 3 months, 9 months, or a year. So our Mishnah is now talking about the sota getting an extension of 1, 2, or 3 years. That's three times more than the maximum shear that was given amongst the Tanaim. So that's a problem. So La'olam, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel. So really, the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel. V'ashkakra da'amar utani. But what he did, in other words, in our Pesukim, is that he found a Pesuk that went ahead and said it over three times. Meaning, take the multiple, in this case it's a year, multiply it by three, and that's how you got the 3 years. The Navi says, Zanamos, should sound familiar. It's a Haftar coming up next week. I think next week. So Ashlosha Pishay Adam. So basically that now becomes a multiplier. So you take the year and you multiply by three, and that's how the author of our Tana got to a possible extension of 3 years. Omay Alpha Pishay and Rila Davar, Zeich LaDavar. So the Gemara just wonders now, just finishing up this discussion. He said, I don't have a proof, but I have an illusion. Sounds like after having gone through the Pesukim and Daniel, he's got a proof. Right, Zeich LaDavar means it's encrypted in the Pesukim, but it doesn't say so straight out. Says so pretty clearly. So Dilma Shani of the Kochavin Dilam Mifke Dina Layu. Gemara says a very interesting distinction. While we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar, maybe the way Din works by Goyim is different than it works by Jews. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes, Din works differently by Goyim, Dilam Mifke Dina Layu. I'm reading Rashi. Ein Memarim Mina Shamayim Levkoda Vanosam. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't react so quickly when it comes to non-Jews. Alem ba'olam hazeh, avam Yisrael, mimharim lipare ba'olam hazeh, umedaktikim macharem. However, when it comes to Jews, so the response of Kadosh Baruch Hu comes much quicker. So even though by Nebuchadnezzar he did get an extension, he got an extension of a year, that doesn't mean the same thing would happen to a Jew necessarily. Could be that Nebuchadnezzar gets a quote-unquote longer extension. Although it's funny now, because after having seen the Gemara's punchline, in other words, we basically took that year and we tripled it, so to turn it into 3 years. So, okay. Anyway. Yesh chos tola gimel shanim. Okay. Quoting our Mishnah, so our Mishnah is open to the idea that she can get an extension. She may, in fact, be guilty, and the main marim, in fact, are going to, is going to be her demise, but not immediately. If she has zechuyos, so then she'll get an extension. How long an extension are we talking about? So we're talking about 3 years. What zechuyos are we talking about? The Mishnah is not clear. And if we could just go back to the Mishnah just for a moment, right? It's often understood and perhaps misunderstood that Ben Azai was giving the formula for the zechuyos. But that's not so. In fact, if you look back at the Mishnah, just rereading the Mishnah, period. Meaning, all the Mishnah is telling us is that if she has zechuyos, which right now is unidentified, and we're going to be spending now the remainder of today's daf, most of the remainder of today's daf, identifying what those zechuyos are, if she has them, so that she gets an extension. Then in the Mishnah, Mikan Omer Ben Azai Chayv Agamo Mos Bito Torah. Now there's an obligation to teach her daughter Torah. That Ben Azai is not telling us necessarily what's providing the zechuyos. Ben Azai is just simply saying, now that you know that there's this idea, that there's this concept of zechuyos, so Ben Azai says, we better broadcast that information. Why? Because what's going to happen? Asota's going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. She's going to drink and she doesn't die immediately. Oh. So everyone's going to look and everyone's going to say, oh, you see? Fail. Right? And the woman herself now, who knows that she was guilty, she's going to go around and she's going to say, look, nothing happened. And I know I deserved it, but nothing happened. So Ben Azai says, as a result of that, we better broadcast to people. In other words, don't, if you just leave them with the psukim, the chumash, people are going to walk away thinking, mesota doesn't work. Once you know this Mishnah, now people will know and understand, no, it works. Could be just simply on a delay. So that Ben Azai's advocacy for women learning Torah is just so people understand it may not work immediately. Okay, that's the pshat behind Ben Azai. Now let's go back to our Gemara, and our Gemara now is going to identify what are zechuyos are. What could they be? Zechus demai. We're on the Chaf Aleph, I'm an Aleph. We are now starting a big, really the main sugya of today's daf, and that is the identification of zechuyah. So the Gemara starts off, Elam is zechus haTorah. So do you think it's zechus haTorah? Meaning she learned Torah, and that provided her zechus. And by the way, from what I just explained back in the Mishnah, it's clear the Gemara understood the Mishnah the way I presented it. Meaning that Ben Azai wasn't advocating Torah as a zechus. You'll see it right away, because the Gemara says, Ha ena mitzvah v'yose. No, it's not the Torah. Meaning, if she learns Torah, that's not the zechus. She's ena mitzvah v'yose. She's not obligated in the learning of Torah. Women are exempt from learning Torah. The Gemara in Kedushin. It's that Lamatam Osam is Beneichem. The Gemara in Kedushin darshins. Anyway, women are not obligated in learning Torah, even though it's a mitzvah essay shaloh as man gram. It's not a time by mitzvah, but women are exempt. Ena mitzvah v'yose. So Ella, so that's the so the Gemara can't contemplate the idea that Torah would serve to protect her and give her the zechuyos because she's not obligated. So and now, does the Gemara mean at this point in time that there's no benefit from learning Torah? So the Rambam writes that a woman learns Torah, she's not obligated. The Rambam, in fact, in Hilchos Tamat Torah, that's his opening line. women are not obligated, but the Rambam says, but if they learn, they get reward, right? A woman does any mitzvah, they're not obligated, they're going to get reward. So obviously, gadol mitzvah v'yosa, mimishe no mitzvah v'yosa, right? Again, the Gemara Kedushin. Greater is the one who is commanded and does it than the one who's not commanded. So she's not obligated, she's going to get something. But the Gemara over here, though, in terms of, we're discussing right now in the context of zichuyos, protecting her. Gemara right now at this juncture is not fathoming the idea that the Torah, which she's not obligated to learn, is going to provide a protection. So therefore, what is it? Elazchusta mitzvah. So the Gemara says it must be that she's doing mitzvahs. Mitzvahs obviously that she's obligated to do, and that's what's providing her the zchuyos. So Gemara says chusta mitzvah mi magda kulahai. Gemara says now, mitzvahs obviously are, you know, I'm not capable of articulating, you know, what the benefit of doing a mitzvah is. Okay, but the Gemara points out, mitzvahs are wonderful. Mitzvahs is not learning Torah. It's not the same. V'atanya, etzu darish Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi, kiner mitzvah v'Torah or. So Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi takes the pasuk in Mishlei, famous pasuk in Mishlei, and he explains the pasuk as follows. Tala kasef is a mitzvah b'ner, v'esa Torah b'or. Now a mitzvah is a ner. Torah, that's or. And they're different. Esa mitzvah b'ner lo malacha ma'aner ena magina ala lefishah. Mitzvah ena magina ala lefishah. Now, as far as the mitzvah is concerned, so just like an heir, it's temporary. Meaning, as long as the, giving a modern analogy, but as long as the batteries work in the flashlight, you're great. But once the batteries no longer work, that's it. The flashlight's useless. However, Vesa Torah, Ba'or, La Melchama, or Megin Allah Af Torah, Megin Allah Olam. So, or, now, when we're talking about light, we're talking about not that which provides the light, we're talking about the actual light itself. Okay, so the actual light itself, so that is, that's continuous. So too, that's the same thing with Torah. Torah is continuous. The Omer. And he quotes another pasuk in Mishlei. Now, if you go to a number of Siyumim and members of the Daf, that's something we do. So you're probably familiar with the next part of the pasuk in Mishlei. B'salacha tanche osach. And the Gemara now darshins. B'salacha tanche osach. It's going to guide you, meaning the Torah. Osach zeh olam hazeh. It's going to guide you in this world. B'shach v'cha tishmor alacha zumisa. And it'll protect you during death as well. Again, a reference to Torah. V'akitzosa hi sitzichecha. And when you wake up again, tchias amesim, or the Gemara is going to describe it as simply asid lavo. So lasid lavo. So Torah is going to protect you now, during death, when we come back. That's Torah. So mashal adam shei amalach bishon laila. And then, just to hammer this point, he gives another mashal to explain the power of Torah and the efficacy of Torah. So, a person's walking bishon laila va'afela. He's walking at night. It's dark. It's pitch dark. And what is he afraid of? There's so many things to be afraid of. So first of all, just stepping on thorns and anything that anything bad he's going to step on. A ditch. Wild animals, robbers. And he doesn't know which way to go. But once he gets a torch of light, so at that point in time now, at least the path is illuminated. So he's not going to step on thorns. He's not going to step in a ditch. But that doesn't mean a wild animal is not going to jump in from the side, or a robber. And he also doesn't know where he's going. But once Amud HaShachar comes, so now he has more than just the light of the torch. Now he has more light to work with. So now he gets to see more. So now the wild animal and the robber is not going to assault. But still doesn't know where he's going. He gila Parshas Drachim. Once he gets to Parshas Drachim, literally translated as a crossroad, needs some akulam, so then he's saved from everything. Again, all this mashalim are just simply telling us the efficacy of Torah. And we're right now in the middle of a question. The question the Gemara is formulating, we're still in the middle, is that what's providing a zechuyah? So the Gemara immediately rejected Torah because she's not obligated. The Gemara then went to mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, yeah, mitzvahs are great while you're involved in the mitzvah. But it's not Torah. Torah protects you all the time, right? As the mashalim are trying to explain to us. And davar acher, we're still in the middle of the question. Aver mechab mitzvah. As far as the mitzvah is concerned, you do an avera, takes away the mitzvah. Vein aver mechab Torah. But you have Torah under your belt, That avera does not take away the Torah. Shenema mayim rabim lo yuchu lechbos es ahava. Right, great waters cannot extinguish the ahava, the love. Ahava is a reference to Torah. Now it's interesting. I would have said we know ahava is connected to Torah. V'avtas Hashem Elokecha, right? First parsha in Kriyat Shema. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says the obviously Rashi chose a different pasuk for a reason. I don't know what it is, but need to understand Rashi. Rashi says, "Avas Torah dichsev." He quotes a pasuk from Shir Shirim. Have yenu abesa yain udegal alai ava yain sod. So okay, so the quotes a pasuk from Shir Shirim describing the ahava being like wine, which gives off secrets, like the Torah does. Anyway, again, speaking to what the power of Torah, in that a mitzvah and aver can knock out a mitzvah, Torah and aver can knock out Torah. That is enduring. And the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yosef, sorry. No, the Gemara does not continue. Period. Or question mark, I should say. Ad kan, now the Gemara has formulated the question, and we're really just asking now one simple question. What is this chus that's going to be tola? What's giving her an extension? So again, if it's Torah, she's not obligated. If it's mitzvot, mitzvot's only good while you're doing them. So what's providing her zechuyas? So now the Gemara is going to give a couple of answers. Amar Rav Yosef, mitzvah be'idna dasik baba, magna u'matzla. As far as mitzvahs are concerned, while you're doing the mitzvah, so it protects you and it saves you. I'll explain the difference in just a moment. Be'idna d'lo asak ba, aguni migna atzule lo matzla. However, when you stop doing the mitzvah still protects you, but it doesn't save you. Okay, what's the difference between protection and saving? So once again, I turn back to Rashi. Rashi writes, "Mitzvah be'ina da'asik ba, v'hainu lefisha da'amar magna min ha'yisurim u'matzla mi'yetzahara shelo yechishlen l'chet." So Rashi writes that in terms of protecting you, meaning affording protection from suffering, that mitzvah's due while you're engaged in the mitzvah and even afterwards as well. But then there's another component, and that is the yetzahara. Yetzahara is always on our case, always trying to get us to stop doing mitzvahs and do averos. While we're doing the mitzvah, so now the koach ha-mitzvah, while you're doing it, protects you even from the yetzahara. But once you're finished with the mitzvah, the yetzahara is back on you. And you have no longer any salvation from yetzahara. As far as Haganah, as far as protection is concerned, it still will protect you. This is Rav Yosef's response. So Torah, as opposed to Torah, bein be'idna da'asik bey, bein be'idna da'asik bey, migno matzla. But as far as Torah is concerned, it both protects you from Yisurim, and it saves you from the yetzahara while you're engaged in Torah, and even while you're taking a break. With this answer of Rav Yosef in mind, so basically now we have a way of resolving our sota. Our sota, who is afforded a protection, how is she afforded protection? Again, Torah. At this point, the Gemara rejected Torah from the very beginning. Although, wait a moment, because Torah is going to be reintroduced into the discussion. But right now, at this stage of the Gemara, Torah is out of the discussion. So it must be a mitzvah. And now Rav Yosef is qualifying that a mitzvah protects you from Yisurim, even while you're no longer doing the mitzvah, but it doesn't protect you from Yetzara. The Gemara says, really? Interesting. Dog and Achitofel, they were tamid echachamim par excellence. And meanwhile, we find by the two of them that yet they weren't protected, meaning they suffered. And why did the Torah protect them? Ela Amar Rava. So Rava says, what we're going to do is we're going to reformulate a distinction between mitzvahs versus Torah. Torah be'idna de'asik ba magna matzla, be'idna de'lo asik ba aguna migna atzula lo matzla. Okay, so as far as Torah is concerned, while you're learning Torah, so A, it protects you from your Yisurim, and B, it also protects you from your, saves you from your Yetzahara. But once you take a break from learning Torah, Yetzahara comes right back. This is, huh? You have protection, but the Yetzahara is going to come right back. This is Rav Yosef's formulation. I'm sorry. This is Rav's formulation. Mitzvah bein be'idna da'asikba bein be'idna da'asikba agun migna atzul la matzla. As far as mitzvahs are concerned, mitzvahs are always going to provide a protection, but never going to provide any relief from the Yetzahara. Okay, that is Rav's formulation, but from Yisurim? I mean, the Gemara says it. Okay. Now, as far as the formulation is a little bit different, but the solution's still there. meaning, good. So what's providing her protection? So what's providing her her hagana, her protection, the extension of her demise, is going to be the mitzvahs that she did. Okay.
She's definitely going to demise.
Yeah. It's just, all we're doing is just delaying the inevitable. Okay. Okay. Ravina Amar La'olam Zchus Torah. So Ravina goes back to a suggestion which the Gemara immediately rejected, but Ravina is going to bring it back. And that is, it is Zchus Torah. So the Gemara says, now, it's true she's not obligated, that's factual, but Nehida Bekuda La'mifkada, Ba'agra De'makar Namasim Banayu, Ve'nashon La'gavrayu, Adu Asim Mebe Madrasha, Milo Pagam Ba'adayu. But the Gemara says, but she cuts into half of your Torah. Meaning, what does she do? The Gemara says, she teaches the children. She waits for her husband to come home from the Beis Medrash. Right? Rashi points out over here, her husband's not even in the same town. Husband's in a different town, learning Torah in a different city. She's waiting for her husband to come home. So in other words, she's... True, she herself is not obligated in Torah, but her support of Torah, both by learning with her kids and by supporting her husband in his endeavor to learn Torah, so for that, she gets rewarded. And, it's not a small measure, she cuts in half the reward. Until she comes in the Bay. I'm sorry. Mila Pagam Bahadayu. So she cuts in half. So that means then that there is a Zchus Torah. She's not obligated to learn, but she cuts into half of the learning of her husband and her children. Now, according to Ravina, I asked this question: if her children not learning Torah and her husband's not learning Torah, so then I guess you no longer have this answer. But okay, anyway.
It's also what Rekiba said with this regarding his wife.
Correct. Now, right, he says it all belongs to her. Right, the Gemara over here on the division. Of profit, Gemara over here says they're 50-50 partners. Okay, my parsha is Derachim. Okay, we have now so far two answers of the Gemara in terms of what zchus we're talking about. Either A, it's talking about the zchus of a mitzvah, which is Megan, and different ways in terms of how to formulate it, Rav Yosef versus Rava, or B, it's a zchus Torah. Again, she's not obligated to learn Torah, but she cuts in on a share of the Torah of her children and that of her husband. Next, Parshas Drachim. Right, we mentioned in the mashal earlier in terms of trying to articulate, which I'm trying to do right now, trying to articulate what exactly how does Torah exceed that of mitzvos? So we gave a mashal about a person walking, not knowing where he's going, and with more light that's given, so he won't stumble, he won't step on thorns, he won't be assaulted, and eventually he'll know his way. And the Braisa said, a little ambiguously, once he gets to Parshas Drachim, so that's it. What exactly are we talking about over here? I'm Rav Chisa, it's a Talmud Chacham on the Yom HaMisa. This is a Talmud Chacham on the Yom HaMisa. Meaning, a Talmud Chacham, having spent a life dedicated to learning, so he now knows Torah, he knows it so well, that for him, he will have the most illumination. Meaning, that's what the Braisa is describing. Where it's more than a torch, more than just dawn, but it'll have all the illumination, so he'll know where to go. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Zeh Talmud Chacham v'Yiras Chet, a Talmud Chacham coupled together with Yiras Chet. Meaning, for him, for this such a Talmud Chacham, who not only accumulated a mass knowledge base of Torah, but on top of that, also has fear of sin, right? Has a certain awe of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he will have that kind of illumination. And Marzucha Amarzu Talmud Chacham de Sakalei Shmaita Aliba de Hochasa. Or a third suggestion of the Gemara is a Talmud Chacham who has learned Torah so well that he knows whether he knows the halacha. Not only does he know, you know, how to say over the Gemara. Not only does he know how to say the daf, but when asked the question, how are you going to like this? But when asked the question, right, who do we follow? Meaning, what's the halacha? So such a Talmud Chacham is able to tell you, oh, this is the way we go. This is a halacha. So such a Talmud Chacham who knows Torah to that extent, so the Gemara says that that's the person who's going to have the full illumination. Davar Acher, going back to another point that we made in the Braisa. Aver mechabe mitzvah, vina aver mechabe Torah. Avera will extinguish a mitzvah, but aver will not extinguish Torah. Amar Rav Yosef, Darshu Rabbi Nachman Bar Yosef, Lahai Kra Ki Sinai. Rav Yossi, when he explained the pasuk, explained it just like it was received from Sinai. The Omaile Dashua Dog V'Achitofel Hachi Lo Radfu Basa David. And if Dog and Achitofel would have really absorbed this point, they would not have been chasing David down. Dichsiv Lemor Lokim Azvu My Derush V'Lo Yirabacha Ervas Davar. So they thought that because of David's sin, so that's it. David no longer had any zechuyos. That's what they thought. Not true. V'heinenon yodim sha'aver mecha b'mitzvah. Meaning, it's true, averas do extinguish mitzvahs. However, ein aver mecha b'torah. But not Torah. David HaMelech had Torah, and that's where Achdoeg and Achitofel made their mistakes. My boz yavuzulau, going back to the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, so we said that it could sometimes disgrace you. What does that mean? Amar Ula. Lo kishimun achi azarya. Velo kerav yochan de benisiyah. There are many times, I mean, the Gemara here cites two examples, but there are many times historically where two people create a partnership. I'll support you, you learn. The Gemara says that's wonderful. That's a good partnership, right? Known traditionally as Yisachar Zvulun. But the partnership has to be made from the inception, meaning that you have to contract with him at the beginning of his learning. So Hillel was learning Torah. Shevna, his brother, was involved in business. And what happened? Afterwards, then Shevna went over to Hillel and says, okay, let me cut in on that learning. So let's now contract that I'll support you and you're right, I'll pay you for half. The Gemara says, nope, Yatza Basko Ve'amra, Imitenish, it's called Hon Beiso. According to the Pasuk from Shir Shirim, you can give all the money. Doesn't matter. If you only contract afterwards, Gemara says, no, doesn't work that way. Let's just do one more bit of Gemara and we'll pick it up tomorrow. We're turning to Chaf Alf Amid Beis. Omer Ben Azai, Chayav Adon Lamas, Vizbito Reb Lazar, Omer Kol Malam, Vizbito Torah, Malam Do Tiflas. The girsa that the Gemara had in the Mishnah is that according to Rabbi Elazar, teaching your daughter Torah is teaching her tiflus. Tiflus is, right, immorality. It's something that is not good. Even the idea that he's saying if you teach your daughter Torah, you're teaching her tiflus, that can't be. It's untenable. Torah is not tiflus. So the Gemara says tiflus. Ki'ilu lamda tiflus. The Gemara's correction is it's ki'ilu. What's the ki'ilu? Take a look at the second Rashi on the Yamad. I'm reading from Rashi. Shemitocha hi mevina armumis va'osa divare batzneya. Because being now skilled in Torah, so what do we do all the time? We sharpen our mind. We learn the legal system. We learn a whole legality system. Sometimes you can go and write totally within the letter of the law. Right, circumnavigate, meaning you become a legal expert. So you teach your Torah according to Rabbi Eliezer. It's ki'ilu malam do tiflus, because now she understands the cunning and the deceptive. She'll have a cunning mind, a deceptive mind, and used correctly, you're good. You're a talmid chacham. Used incorrectly, so you can start. You now know how to circumnavigate. That's Rashi's explanation. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with Amar Rabbi Abba.